Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it was pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, somebody can play football.
I'm coming down from the gallows and I don't have very long.
Renegade sounds a little crazy tonight. I guess that's how we're all feeling tonight, really crazy. Hello, my friends. My name is Brian Anthony Davis, and once again, you are tuned in to the Steeler Hangover presented by Behind the Steel Curtain. And remember, Behind the Steel Curtain for all your Pittsburgh Steeler needs. Now, I am not a braggadocious man. I do not like to gloat, but I do like movies. And I'm thinking about one of my favorite movies set in New England, set in Boston. And it was an Academy Award-winning movie written. The screenplay was written by Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, two very, very big New England Patriots fans. And one of the great lines in that movie was, "You like apples? Well, I just got her number. How do you like them apples?" Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers just beat the New England Patriots 17-10 how do you like them apples? That's all I've got to say, and I'm going to say it over and over again. I feel like $1 trillion. And I know my good friend Anthony DeFeo, he feels the same. I believe you said, Tony, that your hands have just stopped shaking. So I'm going to ask you, how do you like them apples?
They're pretty tasty, yeah. Whew, long time coming, huh? 7 years. And it feels like 7 years since they won their last game overall. So, yeah, it was definitely a big win. And credit to you. You've been saying for weeks that they were going to win when their backs were against the wall, and that's exactly what they did. What a fine performance by the defense especially. But it was just probably one of the biggest wins in Mike Tomlin's career.
Well, you know, I can't take too much credit because I did pick them to win the last three games that they indeed did lose. So I just felt that if they were who we thought they were, they would go ahead and win this ball game. And we are just feeling fantastic. And this is the Steeler hangover, and usually we give ourselves 24 hours to go ahead and plan. And not just plan, but figure out how we feel. Recover is the big word. We really need to get refreshed after a whole gamut of emotions, and we really needed the 24 hours here. But, Tony, I think we've only given ourselves about 2 hours because this is being recorded on Sunday night because of travel plans that I have. So I wanted to go ahead and make sure that we got out. And, hey, no time like the present. It's a quick hangover, but we are feeling the effects, my friend.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel pretty good. I mean, again, it was much needed, and really they set themselves up nicely, I think, for the last 2 weeks. I mean, they still control their own fate. Their magic number's down to 2, and they beat the Patriots. So what a great night.
Well, you know, this is the time where we go ahead and ask for your knee-jerk reaction on this game. So I'm going to go a little different this time around. Tony, when did you know that they won this ball game?
Honestly, based on last year and how that game went, after the fourth down incomplete pass by Brady with 26 seconds left, that's when I finally knew. Even then, I was just waiting. Am I going to see yellow? Am I going to hear groans from the crowd? But no, yeah, that's when I finally knew, because as you know, as the great Homer J from our site says, they've been living rent free in our minds for a long time. So I didn't believe it until I saw it. And when I finally saw it, took me a while, but I finally processed it all, and I'm finally accepting it.
Does this change the path of the season now? Do you feel like the season was on a different path, or is this the same path that you think they've been on all along, and these things, this adversity 3 weeks had to have happened?
Oh, I think it absolutely changes the path. I mean, if they lose tonight, I think they're officially on life support. But they didn't, they won. And now, you know, that's going to give them confidence going into next week. I don't know how they would have gone into New Orleans on a 4-game losing streak and won that game. But now, I mean, you know, if you can accomplish this, beating the Patriots, there's really not a whole lot you can't do as far as the Steelers are concerned. So I think it changes a lot. I mean, they're now a half a game out of the number 3 seed, which, you know, that's a pretty big deal. So yeah, I think it changes a lot. What happened tonight?
A really big deal. And we will be looking at schedules. We will be looking at how things are going down the road. Really excited. We've got a lot of activity tonight because we'll have some usual suspects, and we will have one of our BTSC correspondents, hopefully, that was at the game and traveling home from it. So he is driving on air, I believe. But, you know, real quick, we always give out grades. And for me, with the gravity of this game, with the game plan, with the way they played, the final score, I've got to go A-plus offense, I've got to go A-plus defense, and I've got to go C, special teams. What do you think? Where would you go with those three?
Oh, absolutely, A-plus for the defense. I mean, the offense, you know, it was kind of disconcerting that it disappeared again for a bit in the second half. It really didn't, you know, produce much for what the third or fourth week in a row, but I mean, it did enough in the first half to you know, it capitalized on its opportunities. So other than that one play, that led to the one drive that led to the Boswell missed field goal. I think the offense looked really, really good tonight, and it did what it had to do. So, yeah, I agree with all.
So maybe
go ahead.
Maybe bump it down to an A-minus or a B-plus.
For the offense,
you know,
I mean,
have to put
just my opinion
on
yeah.
the site. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say B plus for the offense.
I'm going to let you call it B plus.
Yeah, because of the second half. You know, I think I don't know what it is about
the
second half.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am cool with that. That's why I respect your opinion, Tony. So that's why I'm asking you. We have not discussed this, but I think it's safe to say we go ahead and give an offensive and defensive valedictorian. I'm not sure. I think offense has to be one guy, but I'll let you throw it out to see if we're on the same page. Who is your offensive valedictorian for this game?
It has to be the guy who was impersonating the guy who was impersonating Le'Veon Bell, and that's the rookie Jalen Samuels, 172 all-purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, it has to be. And, you know, with the majority of those yards being rushes, that's even a bigger deal for me. I'll have those exact stats in just a little while. But that is a huge deal for me. Big game for Jalen Samuels. Really made you feel good. Lots of good games all around. Look, nobody on this team is really going to detention this time around. I just can't. You know how I've had those weeks where I'm like, I can't put anybody on the honor roll? Well, this week I can't put anybody on detention, even Chris Boswell. They're getting a C, but look, there's something in this guy's head, and we've got to figure out what it is. The Steelers had a chance to cut ties with this guy. They didn't. They lose that game. It's on them. But he did come through in the clutch with a 48-yard field goal. I think he's better from longer distances. I think that short stuff is in his head. But it did not cost them tonight, but it could have. But that's – look, we're going to put a pin in that. We're going to put that aside because this is a huge victory. Nobody's going on the detention. But I want to talk about defense. Someone's getting valedictorian. And you can probably look a couple ways, but I think there's only one guy that you go with. You know, you can look at Joe Hayden for sure, but really for me, it's a guy that a lot of people dog on for not being an elite pass rusher. But I think TJ Watt is an elite defender at this point. So really I'm giving the defensive valedictorian to him. Do you have any disagreement with that? Am I overlooking anybody, Tony?
No, I mean, I think it came down to him and Joe Hayden, I think, you know, for that big interception, the way he held onto the ball. But I definitely thought T.J. Watt had a great game. I mean, he put constant pressure on Brady. He had the sack. I think he blew up a screen pass on the drive that led to the Hayden interception. So I thought he had a tremendous game and a much needed one, you know, because he hadn't been doing a whole lot the last few weeks, but he came through tonight. So it was just a great game by him.
So, yeah, it is in stone. We got to go valedictorian. Jalen Samuels on offense. We are going to go valedictorian for T.J. Watt, who I'm telling you what, this guy has got to go to the Pro Bowl for my money. He's got to go. He's going to be partying with his brother in Orlando or wherever that is. Well, actually, I hope he doesn't go.
Yeah,
I hope
say.
He doesn't go. I hope he gets named, but I hope he doesn't go.
Right.
I caught myself real quick because I'm remembering the days when everybody went to Hawaii and it was awesome. But with that being said, you know, the grades are good. You know, we got to go A's. We'll do the B-plus for the offense. We'll go A-plus for the defense. And even though there were some lapses there, but I'm overlooking. I'm in the mood. I'm feeling fantastic. And so all the way around, still going C special teams because I just do. That's what I do. Now, look, something special tonight. I teased this a little bit earlier. We have one of BTSC's very own on the road returning from Heinz Field. So we want to go on the line somewhere probably on the turnpike or wherever he is right now is BTSC's very own Dave Schofield. Dave, good evening.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, very good. Dave, Tony, Tony, and, Dave.
Nice
Tony,
to meet you,
nice
man.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
So you must be walking on air, Dave.
This
I mean,
was,
we're driving on air.
This was, I have never heard Heinz Field so loud in my entire life.
So it looks like they picked the right time to play Renegade. And in the Los Angeles Charger game, it blew up on them. But it looks like Renegade really, really fired everybody up tonight.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was talking to some of the people in sitting around me. We were hoping we didn't get to hear it, because if they would have got that last first down, Prince never would have been on the field again, and we would have said, we can go home with a win without Renegade. But it didn't
yeah.
quite work out
yep.
that way. Got the finally, Boswell redeemed himself, knocked it through. We were just waiting for the commercial break, and some people were upset. They're like, oh, no, they're not playing. I'm like, just wait till the two-minute warning. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And when that screen went black, it just – I've been to several games, a lot of games, but that was the loudest I've ever heard it at Heinz Field.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, what was the crowd move the entire time? When did the crowd feel comfortable? And for my money, I always talk about this, you don't celebrate until there's zeros on the clock. But when did your section know that they're winning this ball game?
When they were in victory formation.
So the mood was great. I'm sure it was awesome.
It was interesting. I went to the Atlanta game earlier this year, and I had let Jeff Hartman, I'm like, this place is dead before the game started. But that one, you know, they started quick, and then the mood picked up, and that's when the season really started to pick up. The mood wasn't that bad to start, but it was similar to it when the game started. There was with the losing streak, the fans were pretty leery about stuff. But I tell you, I'm always the guy that likes to defer. I actually had an article today about whether or not the Steelers should have deferred or taken the ball. They took the ball and took it right down the field, and that really set the tone for the crowd, if anything. Add the extra point going through, there was as much cheering for the extra point going through as there was for the actual touchdown. And that's when the crowd started to get in it. There was, you know, a little bit of air was taken out on that long touchdown pass, but I don't even want to talk about that one. It was an electric crowd.
Well, you know what? I had to listen to the first drive on the radio just because of bad planning by me. I ended up watching everything and, like, speeding through the commercials. But when Boswell hit that first extra point, yeah, you could hear it. It was coming through my speakers loud and clear. It was an eruption. And that's actually the way it was at the Kansas City game in week two when it was more mockery, but it was an eruption. You know, the crowd loves Boswell. They love – I mean, he's a good kid. People love this guy, but they don't know what's wrong with him. You know,
the
I was talking to Tony earlier about
might
it.
Have been one of the louder times of where he was booed. And I have to shamefully admit that I was joining in on that one as well.
Did they show – I know CBS showed it. Did you happen to see the close-up of him on the sidelines after that miss?
I didn't see a close-up of him on the sideline, but he looked completely dejected walking off the field. I don't know if that showed up on TV, but as he walked off the field, you could just tell that that was not the same guy that had just already hit two extra points.
Tony, describe for us what he looked like after he missed that. He was sitting all alone on the bench.
He looked like a man with no answers. He looked like a man that just did not know how to dig himself out of this mental hole that he's in, that he's been in since week one. That's what he looked like. I mean, he, like all these kicks now, they look exactly the same. You know, and that one almost looked Vanderjagt-esque in that playoff game years ago. That's how bad he missed it wide right this time. It's just, he just looked like a man without any answers. And that's why he was so impressive that he came back later in the game and hit that 48-yarder. I mean, he got himself together, so you have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, you know what? We could dissect that the entire time. I'm going to ask Dave one more thing about Boswell. Who were the – when he missed that and their boos, who were the fans blaming? Were they blaming Boswell or were they blaming Tomlin for not making a move?
Oh, that was Boswell. That the fans
– okay.
They really have had enough of the misses. And, I mean, that was at a key point. That was to go up two scores. I mean, it was just so disappointing for that drive to end that way.
Yeah, first and goal at the four and then end with nothing. That was huge, or it could have been huge.
And that's where the world seemed to turn, but luckily it didn't. Dave, one more question for you. What were the fans most excited about? What player in this game? Who were they talking about positively the most?
Well, of course, you got a lot of people were ecstatic about Jalen Samuels. I personally thought it was the best I'd seen the offensive line play all season. Although a couple shaky things early on, which was actually from DeCastro, which was very uncharacteristic. But the big guy everyone was talking about was Joe Hayden.
Oh, wow, yeah, because he did have a very good coverage game. And we did not elect Joe Hayden or valedictorian on defense. We very well could have. We went with T.J. Watt because of what T.J. Watt created. But it seems like those two team up a lot with T.J. Helps force things going Joe's way, and that seems to have been happening a lot as of late. But what I want to ask you about is the receptions of two guys. What kind of receptions did Eli Rogers get and James Washington?
Great, both of them. I mean, I was probably going the most crazy about James Washington when he went up and basically had the combative catch that we had seen in camp and it's the preseason that we haven't seen yet this year. A lot of people thought that was great, probably the one going the craziest about that one. Plus, I played it in my
You know,
family,
I was
– so that helped.
Well, you know what? I'm very proud that I placed ninth in FanDuel. And the reason I'm proud that I'm thrilled that I placed nine and got no money this week is I put Gronkowski in there and I put Edelman in there. And I, you know, I have no regrets. I would rather lose. This is my fantasy football, the rules since 2002, since I started playing. If my team loses, that's fine. But my real team, Pittsburgh Steelers, they can't lose. So I don't care if I can get $200 another way. I don't need to win it from guys that I drink beer and soda with, you know, or eat wings with. I don't need to get my money from them. I need to get my thrills from the Steelers winning. So I was thrilled to death that those guys gave me very few points. Dave, thank you so much for calling in, and we need to have you on the show more. And now you have to go every week if you're going to bring this great mojo, because if I look correctly, Tony, help me out with this. He said he went to the Atlanta game, and what happened in the Atlanta game?
Started a six-game winning streak.
Huge
win. Catalyst.
So now he goes to the New England game. And they win. So,
and how many more games till the Super Bowl? Six.
Yeah, so, I mean, you need to save up your money. You might be going on the road, David.
Hey, I don't know about on the road, but if they're playing at Heinz Field in the playoffs, I'm there.
Awesome.
Hey, take one for the team. You might be going to Kansas City, or you might be going to Houston, Texas, or who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks? But, hey, be sure, look, fans of Behind the Steel Curtain, be sure to check out all of Dave's work. He does fantastic stuff on the website. There is a whole bunch of statistical stuff that I don't know where this guy comes up with. I don't think he sleeps. really, I really don't think he does. But he comes up with stuff for all of us on the site. That is just absolutely amazing. forget about Pro Football Focus. I'm talking about Pro Dave Schofield. So, Dave, thank you so much. and you have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, same for you guys. Anytime you guys just let me know, I'll come on anytime you like.
Nice meeting you, Dave.
All right.
And nice to meet you, too.
Once again, Dave Schofield, what an awesome call. Thank you so much for him calling in. What a great treat, and he's a really good dude. In fact, I had a chance. He's a part of our Behind the Steel Curtain Maryland connection now, which is growing. And he came to the game last week and watched it at my house and joined Steeler Central. And he's a hoot to watch the games with, too, because this guy has knowledge that you would not believe. This guy is a coach. He actually coached high school. Just an amazing football mind. So glad to have him on the team. But there's other guys, Tony, that we're glad to have on the team. And this is a guy that's been waiting patiently, but I can't wait to talk to him because he's been lifting our spirits the last 3 weeks. And now we can celebrate with the one and only Vito Manco from New Jersey. Legend on the Behind the Steel Curtain podcast and joining us here tonight, Vito. Good evening.
Vito. What a great ending, huh? And I got to tell you, I didn't watch the last 3 minutes. I couldn't watch it. When they had the ball, I said, man, I just hope Ben doesn't make a mistake or someone fumble the ball or do something stupid. I swear to you, I went upstairs brushing my teeth, and I came back down. And my wife said to me, oh, it's 17-10 now, so because I know Boswell was going for the field goal. But I missed the play where Juju Smith-Schuster didn't come down with the catch right near the end zone because that could have been a critical, critical play if he makes it. They'd be right inside the one-yard line. But I thought the turning point in that game to me was when they missed the field goal. I thought that was when they missed the field goal and they should have went in and got a touchdown from the four-yard line, I thought that was going to be a breaking point that was going to come back and haunt them in the end. But you know what? I got to tell you, the defense did a great job. The coaches called a great game tonight, both Mike Tomlin and defensive coordinator. And I wonder if the gentleman that came in this week to give them some pointers or watch practice gave them some tips that helped them. Because if you notice tonight, whenever they gave up a big play, they really weren't giving up big plays back to back to back to back. The defense really was doing a really good job. I mean, to hold New England to 10 points, I thought that was tremendous. I mean, this is a team that usually scores 20, 30 points a game. So that was a win right there on the defensive front. But you got to say, maybe the two pieces they went out and picked up in the offseason, Bostic and Burnett, came in handy in a game like this. Because having Burnett back there, who's an experienced safety, definitely helped tremendously. And I think Edmonds had a pretty good game too, if I'm not mistaken. The front looked like they're having a tough time getting to him. Because, you know, Tom Brady, his offensive line always does a great job of, you know, protecting him and trying to give him extra time. But T.J. Watt coming across the other side was tremendous. I saw somebody was getting held a lot throughout the game. I don't know if it was Bud Dupree or if it was T.J. Watt, but they looked like they were getting held tremendously as they were coming around those turns, and none of those calls were getting called. What are your thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger with those two key interceptions at the most opportune time where they're driving and in a position to score points? I mean, if you listen to the announcers through this game, they kept saying Pittsburgh should be up by at least 14 points. It just felt like Pittsburgh should have been dominating this game score-wise because of how much they were holding the ball and how they were using the ball and driving the ball down the field with Samuels and guys making catches and just the disbursement of different plays to receivers. But, man, to get this win out of the way and finally see this team do it after all these years, I thought it was a huge lift for the team as a whole. And you know what? We don't know what's going to happen at the end of the season. We don't know how it's going to shake up. But just think back, if they would have won two of those three games and plus this game tonight, they'd be in the driver's seat. They could be in the two seed right now. But huge win. And I think from what the gentleman was just saying on the line, you could hear how loud it was over there in Pittsburgh. You knew it was loud because you could see there were so many penalties by New England. And I think a lot of it had to do with how loud that crowd was. That crowd was electric because they knew that we lost the game last year that we should have won, and they didn't want to lose this one. So just it's a good one for the fans.
You know what? I can't disagree with anything you said. You know, it was a good all-around game, but I really think that this team feeds on drama. I have family members that need drama. I don't think they could function without drama. And I think at this point the fans don't want the drama, but for some reason this team needs to go down to the wire. Your question about Ben Roethlisberger, you know what? The first interception, I thought it was ugly, but I did not think it was anything egregious. I thought it was a bad ball. Categorizing that as an interception like the ones where I felt like he had the yips in the last few weeks. The second interception, he was forcing a ball into Antonio Brown, but this time the ball ricocheted. And those interceptions are on Ben, but as far as I'm concerned, Tony, I'll get your opinion on this, but as far as I'm concerned, I thought he still had a pretty good game, and down the stretch, I wasn't scared when he was going back to pass. The other thing I would have, before I throw it over to Tony with that question, I want to mention the Juju ball. That ball was thrown perfect. That was Juju's ball. But here's the thing: he got defended perfectly on that ball. That pass, it was knocked away from his hands. It was knocked out of his hands. That was a reception. That could have been a touchdown. He had it, but he got defended perfectly, and I don't think there was anything either one could have done about it. Tony, what are your thoughts on those two points?
Oh, the first interception, I thought that was his Ben's worst of the two throws. I mean, I think it was Switzer, or maybe it was McDonald was coming open, on the right side when he overthrew that pass. As far as the second one, I think that was more in Eli Rogers, where because he was supposed to clear out on that play, and he couldn't get past his defender, so it was crowded in there, and that's why it was ricocheted, deflected. So I think that's more on Rogers, or at least the defensive back covering him, give him credit for not allowing Rogers to clear out. I think that's what that. I think because I think Brown was wide open on that, so at least it looked like he was. As far as the Juju Smith-Schuster play, that was just a great play by the Patriots defensive back for taking that ball away, and you almost intercepted it. So, and it was a great pass, and it was Juju usually comes down with those 50-50 balls, but you have to give the pass credit or the defender credit for knocking it away and keeping the New England in the game.
I'm not being an apologist for Ben, but you made a great point right there. There's some interceptions that they're perfectly thrown balls, and there's nothing that the quarterback or the receiver can do about it. And those interceptions, they're just perfect defensive plays. And really, at that point, you can't cry about some of those interceptions. Look, I know we want a perfect Ben, called a great game. I thought he was a leader in that field, and I believed in him in this game. It's just some of the play calling. I wanted to see more runs in that situation in the third quarter. I thought they could have done that a whole lot more. But with everything being said, I thought it was a perfect game. It was an imperfect perfect game. Let me rephrase that, because look, you're not going to go ahead and have perfection against a team like New England. I think New England is down, and I think, Vito, I'm going to ask you this. I think New England is on the decline. They will be going to the playoffs, but I don't think they're a threat like they were, and I think you can go ahead and beat this team again. However, I don't want to be doing it in New England. And I actually think the way things are shaping up, if New England is the third seed, they're going to have their hands full if Baltimore is the sixth seed. So with that being said, what are your thoughts on the New England Patriots? Did they give this ball game away, and are they on the decline?
I think they did give it away, because if you look, even after the game, the commentators were saying that it's very un-Brady-like to make the throw that he made that got intercepted by Joe Hayden. And then if you look at him on the 4th and 15, if you look at Tom Brady, he had a clean pocket, and for some reason he went two steps to his left, where he didn't really step into the throw, and he overthrew Edelman, who was wide open, and that's usually not like him. So I don't know if it was just he was rattled because of the noise. I'm not sure if it was – I don't know what's going on. But, you know, you got to remember, at some point you got to say, he is 41 years old. He's going to be 42 years old. Yes, he's done this many, many times. Don't forget, last year they did lose in the Super Bowl, and there was a huge play near the end of the Super Bowl that caused them to lose the ball. And sometimes you don't bounce back from those type of things because, you know what, they take the air out of you. You notice the Falcons have never been the same since they lost that Super Bowl that they were dominating. So Gronkowski didn't have a great game either. This is a guy that usually is a key guy in the game, and he was really a non-factor tonight. So could they be on a decline? Yeah, and there's a good chance that the offensive coordinator takes a head coaching job next year. So what will that do to the offense, and what will that do to Brady? I do think you've probably seen the last game Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at Heinz Field, because especially we don't know if those guys are going to be together anymore after this year. Nobody knows what could happen from year to year. Now, unless there's a playoff game here in Pittsburgh with that team, most likely you may not see them in Heinz Field anymore. And a lot of people are saying that this could be the last game Tom Brady plays at Heinz Field. And the reason why is because, you know, you look at his career, he's on the tail end of his career. You look at the type of year they're having. I mean, they lost the ball game last week that they should have easily won. But you also got to remember the Dolphins were going toe-to-toe with them. And, that game came down to the wire. And there was a play right before the half last week where Brady took a sack and they didn't score any points. Now, you look at them tonight, they didn't score before the half, and they didn't score on the first drive in the second half, which is usually unlike them, because I've always remembered over the years, as Steelers fans, how many times have we seen the Patriots beat us in the AFC Championship game, and they've just dominated. Last year's game, if you remember, in Week 15, Pittsburgh had the lead in that game as well, and it came down to the final minutes, and Gronk was the one that kind of took over and made some big plays at the end. With it today, he wasn't able to do that. So how many years have they dominated us as a team, and they've come up with the big plays and scored before the half and scored, you know, in the second half and just dominated those games and taken big leads. But tonight that wasn't happening. I think what happened was the team as a whole probably said, enough is enough. We can't let this happen forever and ever and ever. We got to be able to stop these guys. And you know what? Everything was perfect today. I mean, perfect meaning, you know, the enthusiasm, the intensity was there. And to be able to hold that team to 10 points, I thought was a huge victory for the defense. I think coach played a huge, huge part in this game. I mean, everybody constantly talks about how bad Tomlin is, how bad Butler is. But you know what? The game plan worked because Pittsburgh made some adjustments. They were doing that. They were doing the things they usually don't do. And you know what? It worked and helped them win that game.
You know, it kind of felt to me, Vito and Tony, that the Steelers walked in with a pocket full of kryptonite, and it felt like Superman was limping, and that leads to everything that you just said. But let me throw some lines, some receiving lines out to you here. Julian Edelman, who just completely crushes this team, and had a good game today. I mean, it really wasn't bad, but he did not make the end zone, but 7 receptions for 90 yards. Look, if you can hold – for the Steelers to hold a guy like Julian Edelman 7 for 90, I will take it. Especially, I believe, one of them towards the end of the game was for 34. So they really held him in check, if you take a look at that. Chris Hogan, 2 for 68. But here's the thing. One of them was 63 yards. So what happened was they just completely bit on a play fake, looked confused at the beginning of the game, and that was a bad play. They blew it on that play. But if you're talking the entire game, yeah, they kind of held them in check. Rob Gronkowski, 2 for 21. No, 2 for 21, I would have never dreamed. Like I said, I played him in my FanDuel league, and I'm glad I got hardly anything from him. And I'm glad I didn't win any money this week. Because Gronkowski, I took him because I figured he was going to put up all kinds of points. I'd rather the Steelers get the victory than me, and that's exactly what happened. Here's a big one for me. Josh Gordon, who has really been coming alive for this team, 1 for 19. And that's it. And Josh Gordon, hurts this team when they play. He hurt them in week one against Cleveland. Every time this guy plays his team, he shows up. He either gets in the end zone, and they kept him out. So they did something on defense that is just absolutely amazing. And they kept this team rushing under 100 yards, 84, 96 yards rushing total between Michelle, Burkhead, and White. You know, you can't beat that either. So, Tony, I really think that they crippled this team today. And to a point where I asked Vito the question, if they gave the game away, I kind of will disagree slightly. I thought they gave it away with a lot of the penalties and a lot of the discipline that was just unpatriot-like. But I thought Brady's play, T.J. Watt was in his head, and that doesn't happen. And I think he was around him every on a lot of those passes. And I think that's why they were forced that way. Would you agree or am I off?
No, I agree. Vito mentioned Brady's last throw where he took a couple steps to the right or the left when he didn't have to. Well, that's what happens when you feel pressure, even if it's not real. I mean, when you're pressuring a guy all game, you know he's going to be expecting it, and I think that's what you saw in that last play. And in a weird way, I'm kind of glad it ended the way it did. You know, with the offense not being able to take advantage on that final drive and score a touchdown or get the game clinching first down, because I think the defense needed that save. You know, I think it needed that save for its confidence, because, you know, I mean, the way it collapsed down the stretch over the last 3 weeks in the fourth quarter, and to be able to hold the mighty Patriots, who might not be so mighty anymore, in the fourth quarter, in the second half. Actually, they held them in check after the first drive, you know, the Chris Hogan touchdown. So it was a tremendous performance, and I think the aggression of the defense is what really caused a lot of problems for the Patriots. I mean, you mentioned Josh Gordon. He dropped a first down pass. I mean, they had them the 3 of 10 on third down. It was just, I think they were more aggressive tonight than they have been in many weeks. And I think that's one of the things that attributed to the holding them to 10 points.
Vito, thank you so much. And, can't wait to hear from you next week. The plan will probably be, once again, probably we're looking at another Sunday night, same day out because of the holiday.
Sure.
So we'll probably be talking to you next Sunday, not too far after they play with the Saints. And hopefully we have the same joyful noise that we're spewing tonight.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great evening. Enjoy this win. This was a big one. And like I said, I think this one was for the fans.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm definitely going to enjoy it. Thank you so much. Once again, Vito Manco from New Jersey, just an absolute legend calling in our show. We really appreciate him. We have people lining up. And I know that with the program change, there's probably a lot of surprise that we're on tonight. I'm actually going to be on an airplane tomorrow night, so that's why we're doing it tonight. And I feel like this is the best time to do it, because we're talking about Hangover, the name of the show, and this is supposed to be the Hangover. But I tell you what, I'm still flying high, my friend Tony.
Oh, me too. I'm getting more pumped up as the show goes on. It's just, you know, it was a win that they probably needed, you know, more so than the win that they lost last year against the Patriots. I mean, that was for a number one seed. This is for their playoff lives. So you just never know in sports. When you lose to the Raiders 1 week and beat the Patriots the next, it's just why we watch.
Exactly. Anything can happen. And I can't wait to share this victory with the next caller. And here's the big thing. I texted this next caller to just remind them that we were going on tonight. And it was in the fourth quarter when I went ahead and did that. And you could just tell by just a quick exchange that we were both nervous of what's going on. So Ken from Jersey, I know you're feeling good now, my friend.
What's up, guys? It's Ken from Jersey. How are you?
Hey, Ken.
You know how we are.
Woo! Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Love it. What are you feeling, my man? Did you get a chance to watch the whole game? Because I know you sometimes you work.
Yes. Yeah. I watched the whole game. I'm actually in Georgia right now with my dad and, you know, with my brother down here. From my sister graduated from University of Georgia. So, but we did watch the whole game.
Congratulations! Yeah. Fantastic.
Thank you. We watched the whole game. We were at a friend's house, and it was great. It was a lot of stress. My dad's here right now. Who brought me up on – my dad's name is Ken Sr., by the way. So, you know,
Ken Sr.
He brought me up on a Steelers. Yes.
Will Ken Sr. talk to us? Hey, Ken Sr., how are you?
Talking to you right now. Listen, don't – you know, sometimes, a lot of times when people say, oh, my God, I thought I was talking to your father, I'm talking to you. Because the voice doesn't change. I don't know what that is. I just genetics. How you doing?
You know what? This is fantastic. I'm so glad to talk to you, sir. And the reason being is I grew up on the Steelers because of my dad, and I would have he introduced it to me. We watched the games together. I remember being at college, and I didn't live far from where I went to college, but I would go home, grab a sub. I lived in Johnstown, Pennsylvania at the time. I would grab a sub, and instead of watching with all my buddies in college, I would just go and watch the game with my dad. And that's a really special thing. So thank you so much for teaching the Steeler way to your son.
Well, you know, first of all, what's your name, sir?
My name's Brian.
Brian, okay. Stands at least to tell you that my name is Kenna Senior, but you know, it seems to be that's the way with us in our fan base. We create from within. That's why Steeler Nation is so strong, and it's all over the country. You know, with you can have Giant fans or Patriots fans or Redskins fans or even Raiders fans. You know. But they are fans for the moment. The Steeler Nation is so important because we create from within. So everybody who's a Steeler fan, they bring up the kids. And my people tell me, they say, you brainwash your kid. I didn't brainwash him. I didn't brainwash him. I said, hey, this is who we are. And you are
this
part
is good
of
parenting.
It. And guess what? The other part of it is just very simple. And I hate to say it, but if you're a girlfriend or a woman of mine, you need to be a Steeler fan, otherwise you're not accepted. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
I love it.
Hey, you have that standard.
Let me ask you. I once dumped a Cowboy fan because it was the playoff game in 96 when Curtis Martin ran for 80 yards on us in that fog game in New England. And she stood up in fear just to get – I was done with her. I waited a week or two, but she was gone. And but you know what? I live. Here's the thing. You mentioned Ravens fans. I live in Maryland, and so is this call originates from there. So a lot of behind the steel curtain. A lot of us are in Maryland, and we're transplants. But I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. But so I'd like to ask you. How did you become a Steeler fan?
Okay. Because, first of all, how old are you?
I just turned 47 years old, and Tony's 46 or 47 himself.
Okay, well, I'm 54 years of age. And my son Kim knows the story. Back in the early 70s, I'm talking about 73 or 4 or something like that, or 75, I really can't say. My dad was a Redskins fan. So my younger brother he was born in 70. So he was already 6 years younger than me. And my dad was a Redskins fan, so we were going for the Redskins. That's when the Redskins had Billy Kilmer, way before they had Joe Theismann. You know?
Okay.
And the Redskins were okay, but they didn't win all the way. But we were going Redskins. And then all of a sudden, the next year, my dad, he just, like, jumped ship. Because he loved Billy Kilmer. But he jumped ship and went to the Raiders. And me and my brother looked at each other like, I thought we were loyal to the Redskins. And then he went to the Raiders. So then we just automatically looked to ourselves and said, well, because we got into the game. He taught us about the game of football. And I was like, you know, if I was loyal to the Redskins and then all of a sudden you just switched off, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find my own team. And at that time, in the early 70s, as we all know, Cowboys and the Steelers were just doing the damn thing. And this was before the 1974 season, when if you look up the 1974 season with the Pittsburgh Steelers, not only did we have the number one defense, but we shut out teams at least six shutouts within a 16-game season. And I think 76?
76 seasons.
Okay, right. So it was 74 that we got that I got in there, that I was a fan. And he was going for the Cowboys because we obviously, if I picked the Steelers, he had to pick the Cowboys because we had to go against each other. And to this day, I've been a loyal, diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan and follow them, learn the teams, everything, reading newspapers, learning about the players and all those things, because back then we didn't have the internet and you had to learn about them by the newspapers and all those other things. Once I started having children, I was like, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you have to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, your mom's got to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And my family looked at me and said, this guy's crazy about the Pittsburgh Steelers. But then I had other family members who said, well, I'm going to be a Dallas Cowboys fan because I'm just going to go against you. And they became diehard Dallas Cowboys fans, diehard Cleveland Browns fans, all of that just to combat me. But what I did not know was how crazy the fan base of the Pittsburgh Steelers was in Steeler Nation. There's no other fans like the Steelers because we go all out for whatever. I don't care if it's a bad season or through the 80s that we really sucked, but we still go outside and wear our gear proudly and let everybody know that we're Pittsburgh Steelers fans. And the thing is that I love the most about Pittsburgh Steelers fans, with all the diversity and everything goes on, I don't care if it's a losing season. If you have on your gear, you can go into a regular grocery store, and then you see a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to have at least a 5-minute conversation. That doesn't happen with any other team in the NFL.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was fantastic. Thank you so much, Ken Sr. And I got to tell you, I do want to pay you a compliment. You have a very fine son that knows his football, and we enjoy talking to him every week. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on the Steelers with us. You and I have a lot in common. I can speak for Tony because we're a lot closer in age, and yeah, we grew up with that, and it was just a great feeling. And you only had three networks back then. Fox wasn't even out yet, so there were only three networks,
right.
And you were watching football, and you were relying
right.
on box scores. You were relying on football cards and sticker books, and that's how you
right.
did it. But to stay in it, I tell you what, I feel blessed that I was born into a Steeler family, and I'm glad to be one. And when my children were born, I have two children, and they were draped in terrible towels within 5 minutes of entering this world.
That is so beautiful. But it's the real, but no other fan does that. Giants fans don't do that. 49ers fans don't do that. They just say, okay, I'm a fan. I'll let my child decide who they want to be, whatever. No, we don't do that. It's a difference. And that's what makes us Steeler Nation. Now all of a sudden it's Raider Nation. This nation, that is, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's just absolutely amazing. Well, thank you so much, sir, for talking to us tonight. I mean, this was a treat. This was a treat for me because I,
this,
you know what, I, I talk about it, but I'm the grocery store guy that would be talking to you. And if I see that opening, I see you wearing it, I'm talking to you. That's who I am, and that's
listen,
part
guys,
of being that special Steeler fan.
This is Ken Jr. from New Jersey. So I'll just close with this. I'm going to give you a little bit of analysis, just like I do every week. Artie Burns was supposed to be cover three on that Brady touchdown, and he did not follow his responsibility. That's the end of Artie, unfortunately. I think Boz, with the second field goal, he bought himself another week. And the last thing I'll say is the defense really needed that stop. And I think that's going to carry us to the playoffs. So I think we will run the table because we finally beat the New England Patriots. It feels like a spiritual win. And I'm just so proud and blessed to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. That's it.
Ken, I love it. Thank you so much. And we will be talking to you. Looks like because of Christmas, we'll probably be talking next Sunday night as well.
Yep.
See you, Ken.
Definitely be talking. Not probably. Definitely.
All right, guys.
All right. Thanks, buddy. You take care. God bless you.
You too.
Tony, that was a treat.
It was.
How awesome was that, Tony?
I think we have another Hall of Famer on our hands.
I know. I mean, we, you know what? We look forward to talking to Ken every week, Ken Jr. And now we just met Ken Sr. via the phone. And that's a dynamic Steeler fan. That's if anybody could epitomize who we are as a fan base, that man summed it up perfectly. You know what? I'm going to put a challenge out to you, Tony. We need to check the schedule. Next time there's a game in the state of New Jersey, we need to go down there. We need to either go to a Jets game or a Giants game. And, I mean, it's not that far. I mean, it's a lot closer for me. But we should take the show on the road, and we got to meet up with, see if we can meet up with Vito and Ken and Ken Jr. and Ken Sr. and anybody else that'll come down, because we have so many fans down there. That's going to be something we look at the schedule and say, all right, let's just do this.
Well, I think some Sunday in the near future we should. Yeah, I think it'd be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And you know what? We would have to do a tailgate. And I want to mention a tailgate, too. I want to segue into this. One of the most refreshing things. And this guy makes me excited to be a Steeler fan. And I've made no bones about it how I don't really have favorites because I love all of these guys. But I've got a new favorite, just the way he treats the fans. And it's no other than number 19, Juju Smith-Schuster, or John Smith, as I like to call him. And did you see what he did today?
I saw a picture. He was among the fans again, which is his. What was he doing?
So there was a guy at a tailgate wearing a number 19 jersey, and he decided to go up and get a hot dog.
That's
tailgate.
That's so Juju. That's awesome. That's even better.
I tell you what, I love it, and I love the feeling. So. Hey, let's keep this party going. And as someone that's been on hold for a while, and if I'm not mistaken, we're actually staying in the state of Georgia and going to Marietta. Is that correct?
Yeah, guys. It's a beautiful, beautiful night in Georgia. And Ken should have just contacted me and we could have watched the game together. That would have been great. here it is, guys.
Who would have known?
Here it is. Yeah, we should just have our little board there, and everybody could post where they're going to be, and that would help us all get together for the games. But here's the thing:
you know,
here's the story about tonight. The quick watching, rainy here in Georgia, so I spent my weekend unable to do some tasks and watched, and this is almost brutal, the last three games on tape. And here might be a bit of a scoop for the articles, the guys breaking down tape. It appears in between commercials, I always try to go look at what just happened. And on the defense, I was trying to pick out if Herman gave some advice, spent some time with the coaching staff, what do I see different? Being that it was really good because I just watched those games, to me it looks like the linebackers were definitely a step or two farther back. And more importantly, on pass plays, they were by far deeper than any other time of the season. Now, we may say that that's because, you know, maybe they're running a lot of curls and short 3 to 5 yard pass plays, the New England playbook. However, that it just struck me. It just came out after doing it 4 or 5 times and looking at the D. I was like, man, these guys, they're not a linebacker jumping backwards because a running back or a wide receiver's gotten past them. That was unmistakable. The other thing is that I have never seen New England's defensive linemen on the ground more than I had seen this game. And unfortunately, because New England's good, you see them on TV in Georgia quite often nationally. But I'm just saying that this, it's a trend I see every time I watch them, that they've never had defensive linemen getting all, you know, occasionally pancaked and laying on the ground. And the final thought, because I know, you know, you got a lot of time and other people are calling, it's an exciting night. Going to the New England boards, it was kind of fun tonight, the first hour after the game, because even their paper, everybody posting, they're complaining about the officials. I got to tell New England fans something, and I think I might be the only guy picking this up. But you go look at that first TD when Hogan, number 84 there, Patterson, is lined up almost nose-to-nose with the center. And I know the camera angle's slanted, but I have HD TV, so it's pretty accurate. He's got his head leaning past his feet. He's 6'4", keep in mind, big guy. And then he swings his hands like a little girl, and he swings them forward to the thing of the snap. He has to be a neutral zone violation. I can't wait till the All-22 comes out if somebody could take a look at that. But he was definitely a neutral, I think. I'd put it down. He's 90% sure he's a neutral zone violation. How are these officials missing this stuff week in and week out, and how's it always happened against us? And the last point is, these guys, New England fans complaining about the game. The juju pass when Ben throws it up on the blitz late in the game in the fourth quarter. The quarterback, you can freeze it right online, the NFL.com, the videos. He never turns around. He's got his face or his hand straight up Juju's face. That's face guard or at least interference before the ball even gets there. So those are some very big plays tonight. It gives the defense even more of an impressive effort in regards that they overcame it, because in the past weeks they haven't overcome these type of situations. And I know you guys both know what I'm speaking of. But interesting to see what you guys think of those thoughts.
I think those are tremendous thoughts. I tell you what, we talked about Hall of Fame callers. Nick, fantastic. Any of that. I picked up on none of that. And I humbly say that fantastic job, because I saw the Juju play twice, and I was looking more at the defender's hands than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not notice that. Tony, what did you see?
No, I didn't notice it either. He has good eyes. I mean, it's a good analysis. And especially the part about the linebackers, I thought that was really, really a good thing to pick up on, because I mean they weren't really giving up any big plays tonight. I mean, not consecutively, not consistently, and it showed in the overall performance. So yeah, good job, Nick. That was pretty good stuff.
Yeah,
Nick, you played, right?
I coached. I've only coached flag football, but I played high school football and such, and okay. Been watching since I've been 7 years old. But I try to always watch, especially, you know, your site and some others where people break down the film, try and learn. I don't subscribe to any of those services, but you know, like I said, it was a nice thing to be able to pick up on in regards to watching these previous losses and where the linebackers. It seems like running backs and wide receivers had their will. The Steelers linebackers weren't getting deep enough. They were making tackles. Pulling guys from behind, pulling them down, or the ball gets by them. Tonight, if you notice, the linebackers, it seems like they kept guys in front. The point is, I don't think, if that is true, what I picked up on, I don't expect the Steelers to say, hey, you know, here's what the input is Mr. Herman, or Coach Herman gave. That ain't going to happen, because then you open up the can for the next team, New Saints or the Bengals, to improvise, obviously. But keep an eye on it for the next few games. Let's see if it's something that becomes more obvious to all of us on TV.
That's fantastic. I mean, thank you for bringing that up. Now, what's your gut saying about New Orleans? Because that's an offensive juggernaut down there. How are you feeling about that?
I'm going to tell you, I always thought that we would go 2-1 in these last three if we were to make it. And I'm hoping, you know, I have a lot of NFL paraphernalia of different teams even. And I am going to admit something. If you see a guy driving around with a blue F-150 in Georgia this week in the Marietta area, and he's got a Steelers paraphernalia all over his truck, yet he's wearing a Chargers cap, that will be me. And I am not afraid to admit it because go Chargers. That's all I
absolutely
got.
Oh, yeah.
And I am going to give you guys some help tonight. It looks like our brothers over there on the other side of the state, the one thing that can really help the Steelers play the Saints is going to be if they don't have as much stress to try and lock up that one seed, because right now the Eagles are up top by 10 going into the fourth quarter. And if they knock off the Rams, I believe the Saints win the tiebreaker. That means they only have to win one of their next two. So there's something to keep an eye out for the next half hour to 45 minutes, see what happens.
Very interesting. I have not seen a thing because I've been wrapped up into this, and I get so distracted that I can't have a game on in the background. So I appreciate you bringing that up as well. It's going to be
23-13, guys.
Definitely. 23-13.
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
Take care.
And
we'll talk to you next week.
That's a weird team, too. All right, buddy. Take care. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right. Go Steelers.
Wow. I tell you what, go Steelers indeed. That's another one. We are blessed on this show, Tony, to have great callers, and the way the BTSC network and a part of Sports Blog Nation is going, a lot of them are going to more of the video chat, and we are one of the few that is sticking to this format. That might change in the future. Who knows? I mean, it's the powers that be. But this is a guy in Nick that at the beginning of the season, on the first call-in show, we mentioned that we're going to go ahead and just have brief calls, say what you need, and then we'll go ahead and talk. And he's like, guys, please, if you have to, that's fine, but please don't do that because that is what we like about this show. That is why we tune in, because you give us a voice. And I tell you what, I appreciate the voices that we have on this show. You know, the Knicks, the Vetoes. We added Dave. We Ken Jr. and Ken Sr. I mean, it's just so fantastic. In fact, I feel like the worst football mind, and I'm not being self-deprecating, but these guys know their stuff. And it is so great to convene with them every single Sunday or Monday night and be able to talk about this on the Hangover. So I'm thankful to have this time. It's not work to me. It's just so much fun, Tony.
It is. And I mean, look, just tonight alone, we had a former high school player, a coach. Bryce from Brooklyn played the game, the one who called a lot last year. Ken obviously has a great knowledge of football. Vito, I mean, it's just amazing. And then the writers on the site, the way they break down film and the way they analyze things. And there's just me just screwing around, writing stupid articles about, you know, whatever.
me with my random thoughts and my my bizarre predictions. Just basically trying to do a this date in history with Juju's celebration every single week.
It's just a lot of knowledge.
That's what makes me proud to be a part of BTSC, because we have we're a team, and the best part about being a team is having everybody that covers different things, and you have so many different angles. Gosh, I mean, we have guys breaking down film, we have guys like Dave Schofield that is just a stat master, and then you have Jeff, who is just the perfect writer and bringing it all together, and then you have you and I that like to screw around and just have fun with it. And that's welcome too. That's what I love. But we know a lot about the, you and I are more of the nostalgia and the history. And we have other guys that I haven't even mentioned that are just, you know, fantastic parts of the site. So I feel really blessed to be a part of it. But when I talk about these people calling in, I feel really good. So I know we're running long. So let's talk about next week and the Saints. Hey, they don't have to they're not on the hook to have to win this game. This is not a do-or-die victory like this one was, especially if Los Angeles goes ahead and does what they need to do, and because Los Angeles has to keep winning. The Chargers have to win. The Baltimore has to win. So that's going to be a great battle. I can't wait to watch that game. But and I don't want to say that you can lose a game, but it's just not as desperate. Would you agree?
Yeah, I, and first of all, I think that 2-point conversion that the Chargers went for on Thursday night, that might prove to be the biggest play for the Steelers this year because, you know, like you said, the Chargers they have everything to play for. I mean, you know, they have the number one seed right in front of them, and they have to keep winning. So if they knock off Baltimore, which I fully expect, I think the hottest team in football right now, meaning the Chargers, then, you know, the Steelers, if they can go over to go down to New Orleans, they can steal the division next week. So, yeah, I mean, it's huge. But like you said, even if they don't, week 17 against Cincinnati, they still have a shot. So it's not – tonight it bought them some time, for without a doubt. And the Saints, you know, getting back to the Saints, I mean, as Nick just pointed out, they're losing by 10 to the Eagles, who aren't having a good year. And they've been struggling a little bit lately, meaning the Saints. And they lost to the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, you know, they're not the juggernaut they were a month ago. And as we know, it's often about when you play a team, not who you play. So, you know, I think that's going to be pretty exciting.
Actually, I don't mean to correct you, but actually the Saints do play tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. It's the Rams. And what's so
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But what's important about that is you see teams like Kansas City losing, and you see teams like the Rams losing to a mid-level team right now, but a mid-level team that's still the Super Bowl champs and still fighting for their playoff lives. It shows you that anything can happen in this league. And you're not going into it's not like the year that the Patriots went in 16-0 to the playoffs, and you're like, you know, no one's going to touch them, even though it happened. But it's not like when the 49ers were 15-1, and you have those years where you're like, it's a no-brainer. We know who's going. So basically, what we thought was going to be happening a month ago could completely change. And, you know, one game like this for the Pittsburgh Steelers to completely right their ship, and that's exactly what has happened. Now, I had a friend say, hey, you know, don't be deceived. This could be smoke and mirrors. This is just a Band-Aid to cover up the problems. I don't agree with that. I agree with the fact that they found a way to beat a team that they cannot beat. They've proven that they struggle with every time. They have all these guys that completely run all over them, like Gronk, like Edelman, they shut down. And so that shows me that they can go into New Orleans and compete with this team because New Orleans is not the same team they were on Thanksgiving. We talked about the Saints on after that Thanksgiving night game touching this team. So here we go again. That's the beauty of the National Football League. And it's the beauty of being a Steelers fan where you can have a 3-game losing streak and still believe that they could win the Super Bowl. You still believe. And the reason you still believe is because they're that damn good of an organization. And our problems are lucky guy problems, being a Steelers fan. Because they're Detroit Lions fans, Cleveland Brown fans, Arizona Cardinal fans would kill to have our problems. Buffalo Bills fans right now would kill to have our problems. Jets fans would do anything to have our problems. So with that being said, I feel blessed, I know you do, for all the gifts we have in this world, but also feel blessed that I grew up a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Amen to that. You put it perfectly. I mean, I have friends that are Bills fans and Lions fans, and we were complaining about the game the other night while hanging out, and we're like, somebody said, I think we better put a we better relax this talk because we have some Bills and Lions fans amongst us. So they know real pain. So you know, being in first place with 2 or 3 weeks to go, that's always a good thing, no matter if it's a half a game or a game or whatever. I mean, you have a chance. And you know, we should just be thankful that they were able to pull tonight's one out and sets us up for a really exciting last 2 weeks.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And you know what? One thing about being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, another thing actually, is that when this team plays, they go ahead and win games they're not supposed to, and they do that more often than not. They were underdogs in this game, probably going to be underdogs next week. I'll take that. I'll definitely take that any day. Any day of the week and twice on Sundays. And next Sunday, I'm predicting that the Steelers keep this going and wrap up the division, Tony.
Yeah, I feel good about that. And I actually feel better now that you said that the Saints play tomorrow night, because they can win tomorrow night and have absolutely nothing to play for, theoretically, or very little to play for next week. So I'm looking for a high-scoring game as usual, like tonight, 17-10. No, I'm seriously, like 31-27, I'm going to go.
I'm thinking 40s in the – 40s and 40s or 40s and high 30s. I could see you taking the over on this game. But feeling really good, flying high. This was a great time tonight. I really enjoyed it. Tony, as always, thank you for joining me on The Hangover.
Hey, it was great being with you, and it was great to break that losing streak, and especially against the Patriots, a 7-year losing streak. Go Steelers.
All right, next week I'm going to be tomorrow night I'm going to be flying high in a different way, because I'm going to be in an airplane, and next week I'll tell you all about it, something that I'm really excited about. It has nothing to do with the Steelers, but we'll talk about that next week, because that'll be just something fun to talk about as well, and hopefully we're talking more about a fun Steeler victory. So for Behind the Steel Curtain, for all your Pittsburgh Steeler needs, news, everything. For Tony DeFeo, for myself, Brian Anthony Davis, thank you, my friends. It was a great victory, 17-10 over the New England Patriots. And you, my friend, have just been hungover. Good night.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.